And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start on their Friday. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Happy Friday to you. What is going on?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Well, I thought I'd be coming in and gloating and saying I told you so about the Detroit Lions not making the playoffs. I will. But you got delayed a little bit because the Cowboys, I don't know, seems like maybe they need some edge rushing. I don't know, based on they also need some corners, but definitely some edge rushing, it seems, is missing. I don't know what happened there with the Cowboys, but also, I switched fantasy quarterbacks because I know people want to hear about my fantasy team. And, Dak did okay, but, oh, man. I mean, one touchdown pass against the freaking Lions,
You expected more.
I expected more. Yeah, and should have gotten more. But,
You expected more.
they have a field goal kicker who can just, I mean, they really need to try like a 75-yarder. And I swear the guy will hit one.
Maybe so. It's far. How we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Yeah. Fun game last night in football and a little fun from the Preds, huh? Showing some
I
fight.
Saw that. Yeah. That's four
Watch
or five
out.
For the Nashville Predators.
Happy
By the way.
Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday. We will get into the Predators here in just a few minutes, but that is 4-5 for the old Nashville Predators. So don't look now, but they're winning some hockey games at the moment. Joe Rexroad, you mentioned the Lions last night. I mean, first off, the playoff picture in the NFC, very interesting. There doesn't really look to be a team running away with it right now. Now, I know Bears fans are going to get all mad. We'll find out this weekend, see how that goes. We're officially on Bears watch, but the Rams lost last week, Carolina, Philadelphia, depending on who you talk to, is in total free fall mode. Who knows? We'll see what happens on that front. So the Lions are just a game back right now of the San Francisco 49ers for that last spot. We'll see what that ends up looking like, but big win for the Detroit Lions last night. I'll be honest with you, Joe, I had not been paying attention to it all week in terms of like the availability for both. I just assumed Amon-Ra St. Brown wasn't going to play. And then all of a sudden on the first drive of the game, I look up and he's just streaking down the field for the Lions. So turns out that guy makes a pretty big difference.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that on my fantasy team too, because I sat him. So yeah, I mean
Sorry.
he didn't have he had like 94 yards, no touchdowns, so it wasn't like devastating. But yeah, he makes a big difference. He's a great player. I mean they're very banged up, like so many teams are. They do seem to be like the new Titans. They're the Titans of the 20 of the you know like 2021 and 2022, leading the league in injured players and practice squad players and all that stuff. But yeah, the NFC is interesting. I don't buy the Bears. I don't care who wants to argue. I mean, I buy them as a much better team. They're going to be in the playoffs, but I don't buy them as like any kind of contender. I buy the Packers. I buy the Eagles. And the Rams, but then, like you said, are the Eagles are just a total mess. I mean, I don't know. They seem like it sometimes, and it's like every week you just don't know what you're gonna get.
Is there any point in having an MVP conversation right now that does not involve just like two people? Like, should we even expand the conversation for most valuable player beyond Drake May and Matt Stafford? Who, by the way, when you look at the odds right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's Drake May at +100. Matt Stafford at +105, and the next highest odds for MVP right now on FanDuel Sportsbook is Jordan Love at +1400. It's a enormous gap from two to three there.
Wow. I mean, it makes sense, but also I still, I mean, I think I would almost, I feel like maybe Stafford, it should be Stafford than a gap, not
Drake
that
May's been
May.
pretty darn good, man.
No question. No question. He has been. But still, I don't know that can anybody else get in there, Probably not at this point.
I mean,
It's
we're
kind of
getting
weird.
late, right? Like it's we're
Getting
late
late. We got a
into the
month left.
year. So, I mean, that just feels like, look, I understand thinks could happen. Like Josh Allen is fourth at plus 3,000. And I guess if he just goes nuts the rest of the way, that maybe he gets in there. But it just kind of feels like a two-horse race right now for MVP. I mean, I bring it up because last night, you know, on the broadcast before the game, they're talking about Prescott and the season that he's had and, you know, obviously the Micah trade and everything. And, you know, could he sneak into the MVP race? And, I mean, look, they're 6-6-1.
Not now.
He's probably not getting in the MVP race. It just – it feels like it's a two-horse race between May and Stafford.
Yeah, that might have been and actually, I think I mentioned this yesterday with PK, is like he is a sneaky, interesting guy. If the numbers keep up, and basically had they – to me, had they won the division, which they're still on the table if they won last night. So they, because I mean, their schedule the rest of the way, I think it's pretty soft. So maybe he could have gotten in there if they come out of nowhere, win the division. He carries a team that clearly isn't very good defensively. You know, I mean, great receivers, but yeah, I think that's dead now. So I mean, I don't know if your guy wins out, beats the Bears twice, the Packers get the number one seed. He puts up insane numbers, you know, little bit of faltering from the other guys. Maybe it gets interesting.
Could be. I mean,
how much time though, like you said,
not a whole lot of time left on that front. So we'll see what happens, but it, really in the NFC and then the AFC too, like it's a pretty interesting playoff race right now. By the way, there's a huge game coming up this weekend in the AFC South. And, you know, I know PK was talking about this the other day with us. You got the Titans at the bottom kind of looking around and just waving at everybody else in the division at the moment. The Colts have stumbled a little bit as of late. But you do have the Jags and the Colts coming up. And that's a massive game in the AFC South when it comes to the playoff picture, when it comes to the division, any way you want to take it. That's a pretty large game. By the way, the Texans play the Chiefs this weekend on Sunday Night Football. So, you know, while you're watching the Titans trying to avoid getting their quarterback killed by Myles Garrett over the weekend, you'll have the Colts and the Jags going on at the same time. And then that night, the Texans at 7-5 on the road taking on Kansas City.
Yeah, it's good to see the AFC South be relevant. I mean, 75% of it, I guess. That's the right math, right? Yeah.
That is.
Three of the four is relevant. So good year for the AFC South, mostly. Although the overall record, you know, like if the Titans just could have done a little bit, you know, give them
it's
a
being
little
drugged down
help.
Dramatically.
Yeah, yes, it is. Poor AFC South, but yeah, I mean, you know, the Colts, like obviously Daniel Jones, he's got the leg injury, you know, so how much is that affecting him? Is he? Everybody keeps waiting for him to come back to earth a little bit, which he has a little bit, you know, but I mean, they were in really good shape. I mean, we were talking one seed not long ago, and now you look at the way those other two are playing, and I mean, it's a very, very interesting month in the AFC South. I'm for 3/4 of the AFC South.
I mean, this could swing all the way back around to Houston after Indy. I mean, look, somebody from Indy and Jacksonville is about to get to 9-4. I mean, I guess unless they tie the game. So somebody's getting to 9-4. Somebody will be 8-5. If Houston wins on the road against Kansas City, they're at 8-5 at that point after starting 0-3 or whatever they were to start the year. So, I mean, look, we know Houston, they've got a very, very good defense, and that's going to keep them in the game. But I mean, this could end up cycling all the way back around. I mean, think back to late September, Joe, of the horrible Texans taking on the horrible Titans, and then they shut out the Titans, and then they've just kind of been ascending ever since then. I mean, I think you got to put my guy Davis Mills in the MVP conversation if they come back and win the division. He really kept them afloat this year.
Well, I
kept their head above water.
There you go. There we go. Hey, man. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. You got to give the guy a lot of credit for how he played. I mean, is he a top five backup? Is he a top three backup? I mean, you know, he's
top one
there. And then of course we get so the finale then is going to be okay. So the finale is Texans hosting the Colts.
Okay.
So Which of course could be flex. By the way, you saw the flex news on your Bears Packers, right?
I did. Yes,
they got rid of an Eagles Commanders game, and we get Bears Packers the second meeting, obviously, right?
No respect. Yes, no respect to Marcus. You put Marcus and Traylon Burks on primetime football as much as you possibly can.
Is Jaden Daniels out for the year?
I have no idea what's going on with him.
Said that, right?
Yeah. I mean, he might as well be at this point.
I think he practiced in full yesterday.
That's good.
Okay.
Well, look, I'm just glad his left arm still attached to his body after that injury.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, in the finale also, of course, you know, we get all the division rivalries. You get the Titans going down to the Milky Pool. And then they could be playing spoiler, you know?
What a way to end the season. Day.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be flexed to 7 a.m.
This game starts at 5:40 in the morning, so just be ready for that. We got a lot to get to on the program today. We will get into the college football championship game weekend coming up this weekend. We will get into Pigskin Pick'em a little bit later in the show, which has become a fierce competition. Teron Davenport from ESPN will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans. All that ahead here on the program. Coming up next, Preds have won 4 of 5, including a win on the road last night against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. What's going on? How are they winning all these games? And what does Barry Trotz and company do from here? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Here come the Preds. Yossi ahead. He has O'Reilly. Drops it. O'Reilly to Stamkos. Hey, scores! The awarded goal gods bless the Predators with an overtime win with both sides of the net off its moorings. Preds win. 2-1 in Florida.
We felt there's points to be had tonight. We felt we were in the game. I really liked our start. Obviously, we got in trouble. The second period was kind of back and forth of being in the box way too much. And I thought our third was really good. I thought, you know, we almost had a chance to put it away with about five. And got to clean up our last 2 minutes. But I think for us, it was a real gutsy road win. The mindset stayed with us the whole game, and we're getting a little bit better at it. And this could maybe be a game that kind of kickstarts us.
Preds win last night, 2-1 in overtime against the Florida Panthers, which means, Joe, they've won 4 of their last 5. So the Predators win some games right now.
Didn't I predict this?
You said 5 in a row. We'll see. I think you should deserve enough credit for that. That's fine. I'll give it to you. They have moved from dead last in the NHL. They are now, I believe, 30th in the NHL. But, I mean, their team's jumbled up all around them. They play St. Louis like 3 times this month, and they're only 1 point behind them. Buffalo's 2 points ahead of them. I mean, the Florida Panthers, who are two-time defending cup champions, are second to last place in the Eastern Conference right now. Now, the Eastern Conference is very jumbled up. And as we know, Florida's got about 1 billion guys that are hurt, and they're going to get some of them back later this month. So we'll see what that all looks like. But regardless, nice win for the Predators last night. As Willie pointed out on the TV broadcast last night, Joe, they've won 4 of 5. And in the games they've won, Steven Stamkos has scored in every one of them. So he's starting to heat up on the offensive side of things as well. So I ask you, you know, Barry Trotz calls his team out through the Tennessean, says he needs more from them. Later on that night, they get beat 8-3. By the Florida Panthers at home, and it's like, well, that didn't work. But I will say, they've won 4 out of 5 in the aftermath of all that. So, what do you make of the Predators and the winning that's been going on around here?
I need more farting from the players, and boom. Just like taking away you two from them 2 years ago. They're doing more of something. So, I mean, like you said, I mean, Stamkos, I mean, you'd hope that there's, you know, a hot streak in there for him, right? Like, and that's probably like the just as miserable as it's been to kind of, you know, just see him and even like hear him talk about things sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to like see that guy have some success. So, I mean, good for them. You know, I do think that Barry Trotz, speaking of Barry Trotz talking about more farting from the players, and he just comes on our air and just starts throwing expletives around. Talking about Frank Saravalli, man. You know, my goodness. Obviously, he is mad about that. I don't know. Is that whole thing like some sort of? I mean, again, like, it's weird because I guess to me it's like I said at the time, I was like, does that mean like more like if it's not toxic between them, like they're just mad at Barry or something? I have no idea what Saravalli means, but obviously he was mad about that. Were they mad about that? Is that something that ticked them off too?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I guess there's that chance. I mean, last night, legitimately, I watched most of the second, third periods last night. And in the second period, they took, I think, 4 penalties. I mean, it felt like they were just constantly, including a double minor in there, by the way. So I think they were just constantly on the penalty kill. And it legitimately, like, there were a couple of chances that Florida had. It could have legitimately have been 5 or 6 to nothing after 2 periods. And either the puck bounced off, Preds, I think, a couple of times on the goal mouth, like, got away with pretty good holding penalty against the Panthers, but they had already been called for so many penalties that I think the refs were afraid of calling another one. So that worked out in their advantage at that point. And then UC Saros made some huge saves. Like, he played really well last night. So that's good to see, right? Like, he's been struggling as of late. So it was good to see him play well. I mean, in a lot of ways, it was kind of a goalie duel last night. Like, Forsberg tried the lacrosse move behind the net, and Bobrovsky saw him pick up the puck from behind him and immediately put up his glove to guard against that top corner of the post. I don't know if I've ever seen a goalie do that before. Like, it was cool. It was a cool save. But I say all that to say is, like, Saros kind of saved their bacon in the second period last night, and then they got their game going as the third went on. So they've kind of won them in different ways. Like, they just totally destroyed the Flames the other night, who are not good. But they've won these games in different ways. Now, what does it mean long term? I don't think a whole lot. Like, I know some Predators fans on the text line, on the YouTube chat, are already freaking out a little bit. Like, don't let this ruin the plan. Don't let this ruin the plan. I don't think it's going to. Like, I still think there's probably some more reality coming. And if you look at their schedule, by the way, they're on the road at Carolina this weekend. They've got Colorado twice in the next week. Like, there's probably some reality coming for them here in the next few games. But frankly, like, it's been a nice change of pace just to watch them win for a little bit here, because, boy, was it getting depressing watching them lose all the time and the Titans lose all the time. So good for them for winning some games. I don't think it's going to change the long-term outlook here.
Yeah, good for them for, you know, playing hard and caring and sticking with it. You're going to have, you know, I don't care how good you are, I don't care how bad you are in an 82-game season, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have stretches that are different from other stretches. It's like, just you think about what it's probably been for them for most of the year. And I understand, like, wasn't that long ago that Yossi's talking to Greg Wyshynski about, you know, hopefully Barry's buying at the deadline, you know. Obviously they want to change things. They don't want that to be the plan. That's still more, that really is the plan as we see it more than anything, right? I mean, Barry hasn't exactly laid out what he's going to do, but we think that, you know, there's going to be some, certainly at least some expiring contracts moving out of here. But, I mean, just for them to have a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, of like feeling good about themselves, that's not so bad, is it?
No. And again, like I said, in the last week, they've moved from last place in the NHL up a couple of spots, and they're only, you know, a point or two behind some other teams. They're also only 1 point up on the last place team in the NHL, right?
They're still closer to that
side. They're still very close to being the last place team in the NHL. So I guess what I'm saying is, this is nice to see. It really is. Like, it's legitimately nice to see them win some games here. If you're a Predators fan out there that's worried that they're going to get, I guess, some false confidence that they're actually a contender now and hold off on their plans moving forward, they're going to have to do a whole lot more winning over the next couple of months here for that to become reality in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a little sugar rush, but again, it's good. you know, good for them. Trevor says, of course the Preds start winning when I check out and haven't watched them in 2 weeks. Yeah, well, you know, maybe you've been the problem. Maybe you've been the problem, Trevor.
Could be.
Let's keep staying away, Trevor, and we'll see if they keep winning. If they keep winning with what's coming up for them, then we actually may be onto something here.
Well, you know, like I said, they've got Colorado twice in the next week. It's a kind of a weird schedule here. They go at Carolina, and then they've got Colorado and St. Louis at home, and then Colorado and St. Louis on the road, and then home against Carolina. So they play the same three teams the next six games, just one at home and one on the road for all of them. It's very weird.
Why does it seem like stuff like that is happening more? I guess just the overall condensation of the schedule makes more weird stuff. Is that what it is?
It's got to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very – it's almost like the COVID year where you just played the same four teams the whole year.
Yeah. You're going to get really familiar with Colorado, St. Louis, and Carolina over the next little bit here if you're a Predators fan. Hey, good news on the Colorado front. They finally lost their second game of the year in regulation last night. So it took them 27 games, but they've done it, Joe. They now lost two games in regulation.
God, that's crazy. Are they going to win it again? People kind of thought, well, they had their cup.
Well, here's the thing. They're 19-2-6. They've got 44 points off to just a ridiculous start to the year. And they've only got a three-point lead in their division. Dallas, 18-5-5. Right there with them. 3 points back. How wild is that?
Yeah. Well, that could potentially be a heck of a race in a playoff series between those two. Down the line.
We'll see what happens. Some very creative thinking by the Vanderbilt Commodores to try to make something additional happen for the College Football Playoff Committee this weekend. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. This holiday season, 1025 The Game, looking out for the kiddos. You want to donate a bunch of stuffed toys to the Nashville Children's Alliance to be given to kids this holiday season, but we cannot do it without you. So join us at a Dunkin' location near your neighborhood the week of December the 8th through the 12th to drop off a stuffed toy that a child will love. You can find the Dunkin' locations that are participating at thegamenashville.com/toy. Also, shout out to the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Ready Lane for all of their help in this as well. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Vanderbilt, Joe, trying a creative way to get more attention from the College Football Playoff Committee, which apparently included trying to find another game to play this weekend. Now, they've talked about this logistically. This is not going to be possible, so it's not going to happen. But, Joe, it looks like earlier this week, some legitimate effort put in there by Vanderbilt to see whether or not it would be possible to get somebody else on the schedule this weekend while conference championship weekend is going on so that there would be, I guess, another data point for the College Football Playoff Committee to consider at that point. It's not happening. But what do you make of, I guess, that effort by Candace Lee and the Vanderbilt athletic program?
Yeah, I give him an A for effort. Hey, I mean, Clark Lee said at his presser the other day, and it was like, yeah, okay, you know, like coaches say that sometimes. Hey, we'll play anyone, anywhere, you know, let's go. But he has said multiple times since the Tennessee win, I've told my team to keep their bags packed, and it's like, are they? Like, are the bags actually packed? But, yes, Candace Lee, and I did talk to both of them yesterday, and Candace Lee, the athletic director, did look into the possibility. Now, they said that they didn't get to the point of reaching out to an opponent. They were just looking into, logistically, is it possible? That was difficult. And then, you know, of course, is it possible in terms of the rules? Now, technically, you can play a 13th game, yeah, in, like, Alaska or Hawaii. Like Jason Goodlitzville, like, why not just fly up to Notre Dame down to Miami? I know the rule says last year, why, but what enforcement punch does the NCAA have anymore? Well, you can say, I mean, I don't think the NCAA would have, like, put them in, like, you know, like, given them probation for doing it, but the data point wouldn't have counted, you know? So, I mean, like, it's not going to help them. Like, the committee's not going to take that into account. It would have been amazing to see someone actually try to do this. But yeah, it is against the rules. It was logistically difficult. They didn't get to the point of an opponent. But like, if you could do that, I mean, to me, I had a kind of an argument with Ralph Russo, who was like, well, why would Miami want to do that? You're like, Miami's ahead of them. I'm like, well, I would still argue that if you're Miami right now, you're also still out. We don't know what's going to happen this weekend, but if you got to win over a team in that range, you know, in that same bubble range, would that not give you a huge bump? Right? Not, maybe not huge, but enough of a bump? I could argue Notre Dame, Miami, certainly Utah, which is actually behind Vanderbilt. I could argue any of them would be wise to play the game. Texas, too. You know, I know Texas, you know, they're over there talking about taking their ball and going home. Yeah, and then Joel, yeah, then, of course, you have also Pavia's asking for President Trump to sign an executive order for 16 teams. Also something that you can't just do. I mean, yeah. You know.
I admire the effort.
If he were the emperor of the United States, maybe this would be possible. But, hey, I admire the effort too, man. Give it a shot. Take a shot at it. It does bring up again this weekend, you know, the idea of is there something different other than these championship games that a lot of these teams just don't even want to play that you could do?
Let me say a couple things on this. Number one, as I said, I admire the effort from Vanderbilt to try to get something like this done. If I were in their shoes, I would do anything possible to try to get my team in the college football playoff. So I don't blame Vanderbilt for this at all. That's fine. Like, do what you got to do. As a college football fan, Joe, I'm very happy that this did not work. Like, we can't just be getting to the end of the year and being like, well, our resume is not good enough, so let's just add something to it that nobody else is doing. Like, it's not on the schedule anywhere else. Nobody else is playing this 13th game, but let's just make one up here. So I, as a college football fan, am very glad that this did not work, but I don't blame Vanderbilt for trying it.
Yeah, a little pickup football, man. You know? Yeah. It's like, hey, let's just like, you know, get your buddies, go out to the hard top and play a game. You know? A little pickup football. Yeah, again, like when Clark initially, when he like said his presser, you know, I was like, yeah, that's great. You know, of course, sure. Yeah, we'll play anybody. But, yeah, I do give them credit for checking it out, man. Anything you can try to do, because obviously, I mean, technically, who was it? Was it Connor Newt this week? He's like, he was like, well, you know, I think he was with Vingan. He was like, well, I mean, Vanderbilt, I mean, you know, they have a slim chance. They don't have much, too much of a chance, but they got a slim chance Sunday of being in the playoff. And I'm like, no. Don't leave. No, do not give people hope. They have a 0.00% chance, and they know this, of being in the playoff. Like, there's weird stuff that can happen this week which is weird because the whole thing is weird. But the whole Notre Dame-Miami thing with BYU and Texas Tech, that could change things in some stupid way because now teams have to be right next to each other to compare them somehow. Teams have to be right next to each other for a head-to-head win. To matter,
this is so dumb.
I don't, but obviously Notre Dame fans are freaking out about that possibility. But yeah, the Vanderbilt, the Utah, and Texas. I mean, those three teams, they have no reason to watch the show on Sunday.
I do want to ask you about a quote, and you mentioned you talked to Clark Lee and Candace Lee yesterday. I want to ask you about this quote from Clark Lee that he told you, which was, you know, I wake up and Utah's below us, Texas is above us. And I wonder what in the world's going on. So if we're going to have someone come from over the top and say, this is what we're going to do, at least there's clarity in that. And if I can understand it, I can accept it. But when I don't understand it, I'm really skeptical of what's going on. And this team deserves to be in the playoff, deserves to compete for a national championship, all those things. Now, look, I understand that Clark Lee is a coach that is trying like mad to get his team in a college football playoff. And when you're the team that's scorned, the first thing that people start doing when they're scorned is start complaining about the process. So I fully understand that in the backdrop of it. But, I mean, he's made multiple comments this week just about how flabbergasted he is by this process and specifically some of the explanations that come out of that room, which we've talked a lot about here. So what have you made of kind of Clark Lee's attack, for lack of a better word, on the committee and what they've done?
Yeah. Well, first of all, just to be fair, that quote was from his presser. So that the big quote there was he said that to the group. But Yeah, look, and this happens every year. There are teams, and it's always going to happen, and then coaches will sound off, and that's fine. I mean, it was pretty funny because I think it was Joey Dwyer asked him, so what's your fix? And he's like, let me just complain right now, okay? Can I just complain? But I think what you hear, especially these coaches who get left out, but like we heard it all summer too. I mean, the SEC spring meetings, ADs and coaches, got to take it out of the committee. Got to get it out of the committee's hand. Okay. Well, the Big Ten has a plan where it's just your standings and it's auto bid. So that's what you want. And then they thought about it. And the coaches, credit to the coaches, Clark Lee and all his cohorts were like, oh, yeah, that's stupid. Because one, like, again, this year we would have a forced fourth Big Ten team. They don't deserve four. They got three. This is a great example of why you do not want that. And look, I understand take it out of the committee. In fact, you're getting into something that I something I'm working on right now, which is like, I mean, like it or not, you can't. Like it or not, you have to have a committee. Things have to change. I think this year we've come to, I mean, Hunter Yurecek has helped us realize, like, dude, we can't keep doing this. Like, here's the list, and now let me just make up whatever comes to mind to justify it and infuriate. Because if you're Vanderbilt, how could you not be furious? So you beat the crap out of Tennessee, which hurts you. That's really what happened.
Yeah.
So should have won by seven. It should have been a tough rivalry game. And then, you know, then they'd still be ranked and it would count for you. It's ridiculous. So they have to change some things about it. But that's the thing. I mean, coaches want it taken out. I heard Manny Diaz. He was on with Ari and Staples on their podcast and On Three. And he, again, like, we got to take it out of their hands. We got to, you know, we got to settle it on the field. Okay, but, I mean, because Duke is about to, if they win the ACC championship, still not get the playoff, apparently. Yeah. Which, again, I have no, I mean, they're 7-5. Like,
yeah, that's with me.
Yeah, but the whole thing shows you why you can't settle it on the field, because you're going to go by standings in 37-team leagues where one team plays an incredibly difficult schedule and one team plays a joke of a schedule in the same league. You cannot do it. You've screwed this up by making these leagues so huge, by killing the Pac-12, all of it. This was designed to have a Pac-12 as part of it, right? Like, that, when this was a devise, the Pac-12 existed. And so you're going to keep coming back to the committee. Now, people are talking about John Gruden's plan here, Robbie. I did not see this.
I've not seen it.
Why has John Gruden not been hired, by the way? Who's hiring John Gruden? Penn State.
Penn State probably should at this point.
They might get Matt Campbell. Now, that'd be pretty good after all this crap. But, no, if anybody knows, they can explain to me John Gruden's solution. I'm all ears. But I'm telling you, like, you're going to have a committee. I say – you put it on like freaking C-SPAN. If people watch C-SPAN, you watch point of order. You know, they're sitting there all day passing bills. Put it on a channel. Put it on ESPN. Who watches ESPN News? Put this crap on ESPN News. Let them all their conversations, and then we don't have to listen to some inane one sentence description. We can hear everything. There's one way you fix it.
This season is a perfect example of why we're going to end up doing these play-in games that just drive me nuts. It's going to happen at some point.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you do that, you still – that's a key point, too, for me. It's not by league, okay? So, in other words, that's what Tony Petitti wants. All right, we'll get Iowa and Minnesota in a big game, and one of them will be it. No, screw you and your stupid league, okay? No, it'll still be committee-based, and it'll be like this year. It's like, okay, Vanderbilt, you play Miami, right?
That would be better than the other idea, yes.
Yes, we cannot do it. League standings don't mean crap, and they never will anymore. So get that out of your mind. I'm with you. Look, I kind of hate it too. But the bottom line is, I mean, if you're going to have this week, or I mean, look, your buddy Drinkwitz, you know, I mean, I know it's basically the same idea, right? Which is like, that's basically what I'm talking about, which is like, I mean, really, that's just the start of the playoff, right? I mean, it's just,
yeah.
So this week becomes the first round, and it's whatever you want to call it. I guess it's like the first four in basketball, with some, you know, except it's a much smaller field. I think something like that maybe on the horizon.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is conference championship weekend in college football. What do we make of the matchups and how could it affect the college football playoff feel? We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. Monday night's matchup is the Eagles taking on the Chargers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the college football playoff and the college football playoff committee. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's up, guys? And I've thought about this for a while. Who do y'all think really should be on the college football playoff committee? I love Chris Massaro. You know, he's a great guy. I went to MTSU. But do we really need group of five ADs on the committee? I just don't know that that's one of the best choices.
That's a great point you bring up, and that's another part of my plan move. No ADs. Administrators are out. I mean, Vanderbilt's been talking about
active ones.
Well, yeah. But I, to me, the administrator piece of this is just, it's just like they have their jobs, they do their jobs. This should not be one of their jobs in any way. And you know, Vanderbilt immediately, and other teams immediately, Miami, Notre Dame, they all know. Oh, the Utah AD's on there, and how about that? Utah is higher than they should be, and teams they beat all of a sudden are in the top 25.
Yep.
You know, whether that's why or not, it's a bad look. Just like, I mean, we got to hear Bubba Cunningham tell us last in March, hey, well, North Carolina, yeah, they deserve to be in. I swear. And, of course, you know, they win their first four games by a million. But, no, this is what it should be. It's I'm cool with the former coaches thing. Because, look, I do want these people. I mean, like, if they're going to spend all this time, I'm like, it's funny to make fun of sometimes. Like, this team, like, they got a really good box safety. I like that. I mean, it's funny. But I actually do want people who, like, deeply know football. I think that's okay. If there's going to be subjectivity, let's have subjectivity with people who know football really well.
Yeah.
So it should be half that. And they've got some former coaches on there now. And it should be half media. I mean, the only person on this committee that I'm confident has not been a total doofus about all this is Ivan Maisel. Because I know he's smart. Like, I know that this is – some people are like, nah, media. But, I mean, we did determine the national champion with a freaking AP poll for 100 years, right? I mean, it should be like retired media. Or even, I guess – Yeah, I think it's got to be
ridiculous. Just say what you really mean, that you want yourself on the college football playoff. Let's not dance around it anymore. You want yourself on there.
I actually want to be the one making the explanations every week so that can show you how it's done. Yeah.
But seriously, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, media and coaches. And get the administrators out because you got conflicts of interest. And frankly, like, I'm sorry, but like, obviously a ton of administrators, you're hiring football coaches, like you're in charge of an athletics department, you know that stuff, but I still think that like that there's a lot that goes into that that's not just like football. If you're a media person whose whole job is to like cover football, I promise you know a thing or two about football, and then we can especially just dispense with the conflict of interest stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with like the even if I think the majority of these athletic directors at least try to do a good job and do the right thing.
Sure.
But to your point, like, it's not a great look when some of these athletic directors are on committees and their teams are directly involved in the discussion. I'm sorry. Like, it's just not. Even if they have the purest of intentions, it just doesn't set things up very well.
I mean, if you want to get conspiratorial here, you know, does Massaro... Yeah, I mean, I've heard Middle Tennessee people talk before about Vanderbilt, you know, annoyed by Vanderbilt. Like, we
Derek
got
Mason calling him in the background, like, hey, you make sure you don't let Vanderbilt in.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before. Like, he's Massaro's new this year. Mark D'Antonio, who I covered forever, he's new this year. Dude, Michigan better not be a bubble team while he's on the committee, okay? He's going to vote them 300th in the country. You know, I mean, it's just like everybody has biases. So, like, you're just never going to completely erase that. But again, active administrators in particular. But if you're not going to do, active, then to me, just get retired coaches, retired, or, you know, like me, semi-retired media people, and you know, and let's go, man, let's go. We'll put together some hellacious fields.
I need to look around that committee and see if there's anybody in there that could just absolutely hate Tennessee, which explains why Tennessee, after losing to Vanderbilt, I guess became like the 95th ranked team in America. Well, like, well, Tennessee lost to Vanderbilt. Relegate them.
Well, let's keep blaming Massaro. I mean, they get annoyed too by like their own students and fans like wanting to watch the Tennessee game instead of going to the Middle Tennessee game. So, well, this is all about Chris Massaro. We need to get him on the phone and see what he's done here. I'm sure he's busy, by the way, because they got a big day Sunday.
Joe, it is conference championship weekend. You've got Georgia and Alabama in the SEC title game. The big one, Indiana, Ohio State in a 1-2 matchup. But, you know, conference championship weekend, it's a very contentious point right now. We've already got some texts that say, hey, do whatever you got to do to get rid of conference championship weekend in college football. So I guess, number one, where do you stand on that, on conference championship weekend? And number two, what should we be rooting for the college football playoff field this week?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's really interesting because I agree in general. Now, Indiana, Ohio State, like, look, I am excited for that game. And this is, you know, these conferences, they've screwed things up so badly again, like, where if you do get rid of the conference championships, then, I mean, you're going to have years where there's like a five-way tie. I guess everyone can just like get a trophy, get a banner, whatever. I will say that for Indiana, you're talking about trying to get your first conference championship in a half century and also beat Ohio State for the first time in almost 40 years. Like, I mean, I would say this is probably a big freaking deal to Indiana, you know, in this game, in their home state, you know. So sometimes you'll get something like, I don't know, you tell me if you're a Georgia fan, Kirby has done everything you want a coach to do, but for whatever reason, he can't beat Alabama. Is just that alone, does that give you more juice for this game? Or are you like, I just don't want my team to have four or five key injuries before the playoff? You tell me. But in the meantime, yeah, they're going to – I think something's going to change and something's going to have to change. But the problem is, again, the SEC in particular and the Big Ten, they're huge moneymakers. So it's just a question of, okay, so if you change it to, you know, whatever. Again, my idea of not having it be devoted to the conference, but being basically more like a play-in weekend at large, I mean, how do you split that money up, right? I mean, that's the thing. But also, if you have those extra games, is that not revenue that these leagues can have? Can we not figure that out? Seems like you could. But this week, first of all, on the Heisman front, you're rooting for Ohio State to beat Indiana without Julian Sane doing unbelievable things. You want like a defensive game where Ohio State dominates Indiana if you're rooting for Pavi to win the Heisman. I mean, do you want to see BYU in the playoff? Because if BYU beats Texas Tech, then I believe Notre Dame and Miami are both out, and the committee gets to completely – they just get to go scot-free on having to deal with the Notre Dame-Miami thing. No,
you don't want BYU. I do not want to see that at all. No.
I don't think I do either. I mean, look, I want to see Vanderbilt in the playoffs. It's not going to happen. I wouldn't mind Texas in the playoff. That's not going to happen. Vanderbilt should be in over – I mean, Vanderbilt eyeball test should be in the playoff. But Notre Dame-Miami, I mean, yeah, like I'd rather – I would rather that be on the table. I mean, I think Notre Dame, the way they're playing, I know that, like, their resume isn't great, but, like, I think they're good enough to do damage. I do. And Miami could be. So if BYU – moves, you know, basically, you know, loses that game and they get bumped down, because even though it's a conference championship game, I think that would happen. Then you're going to have the Notre Dame-Miami comparison, I guess. You know, in theory, they're going to be next to each other. So who should be in, Notre Dame or Miami?
I mean, they did play, right?
Yeah.
I know it was a long time ago. And I know that Miami's had some bad losses since then. But if they're that close to each other and they've played on the field, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that Miami shouldn't be in over Notre Dame.
I agree. Like, I think Notre Dame's better. But the bottom line is, if that data point doesn't kick in when, you know, overall it's close enough, right? I mean, Louisville at home, it's not a great loss. at SMU is not a great loss. They're not. I mean, they're both like 8-4 teams.
Right.
You know,
it's not Texas losing to Florida.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I to me the head to head has to kick in, and so Miami should be in. I mean, if not, my guy Bruce Feldman. I mean, my goodness,
he's going to lose it.
He's on one right now. So that's obviously the fascinating situation is BYU losing as people expect, and then putting that into play on Sunday. And of course, you know, ESPN loves that drama.
Yes, they do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get back into a conversation that the guys had with Charles Robinson yesterday on the program. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.